nice fall. Hopefully this Indian summer will run into end of November. The rarely referenced book of the prophet Nahum is one of the minor prophets, consisting of three chapters. It's tucked between the books of Micah and Habakkuk. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. That's how I'm trying to remember how to find it. It is a prophetic warning message to the ancient city of Nineveh, which was a major city of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire existed in various stages, according to Wikipedia, between 2600 BC and 240 AD. It had reached the pinnacle of its power around the 7th century BC, controlling the Middle East by extending from Armenia in the north, eastern Libya and Egypt to the west, the Arabian Peninsula to the south, and the western Iran to the east. The Assyrian Empire was known to be one of the most cruel and ruthless empires to have ever existed. Nahum warned Nineveh of its impending doom and the destruction which occurred at the hands of the Medes and the Babylonians in the late 7th century BC. We do not know much about Nahum other than that he was from the city of Elcos, E-L-C-O-S. Hence he was an Elcoshite. According to Matthew Henry's commentary, which I will quote from extensively throughout this message, he was a contemporary of Isaiah. The question that I have today is, does the book of Nahum provide a message for us today? What relevance does the book of Nahum have for us in the modern world of the 21st century? I will attempt to answer these questions in the remainder of this message. We are familiar with the city of Nineveh from the story of Jonah, which occurred about 100 years before the book of Nahum was written. Nineveh was built by Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, as recorded in Genesis 10, verses 9 through 11. We are told in Jonah 3, in verse 2, that it was a large city where it took 3 days to walk around. According to Matthew Henry's commentary, quote, "It was much larger than Babylon, such a city," says Diodorus Siculus, "as no man ever after built. It was 150 furlongs long, 90 broad, and 480 in compass. The walls, 100 feet high, were so thick that 3 chariots might go abreast upon them. And on them were 1,500 towers, each of them 200 feet tall." It is here said to be a 3 days journey, for the compass of the walls, as some relate, was 480 furlongs, which, allowing 8 furlongs to a mile, makes 60 miles, which may be reckoned as a 3 days journey for a footman, 20 miles a day. Unquote. In other words, it was a city 19 miles long by 15 or 11 miles wide. As far as the population of Nineveh, we were told in Jonah 4 verse 11, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" That was a question that God had posed to Jonah. So how old is a child when they can finally discern their right hand from their left? It's about 2 years of age. So if you think there's 120,000 infants less than 2 years of age, those that cannot tell their right hand from their left, you have to think that there's at least 2 parents involved, many other people involved, possibly siblings involved. So Nineveh could have easily exceeded 500,000 in population. So in the first few verses of Nahum, we were given various characteristics of God. Reading verse 2 through 3 of chapter 1, God is jealous. Does that mean God has a jealous envy, or is it a righteous jealousy? We are reminded in the second commandment of Exodus 20, verse 5, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities upon the children." He also doesn't want other gods before him. Continuing back in the first chapter of Nahum, "And the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies." According to Henry, these first few verses were written after the nation of Israel had been carried away off into captivity by the Assyrians. It was written to offer encouragement to the kingdom of Judah to the south. Verse 3, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not acquit the wicked." We see here that God is slow to anger, merciful, waiting for people to change their course, repent of their evil deeds, and turn to him. But eventually, time will run out, and there will no longer be any more time to change. God had given Nineveh 100 years to truly repent and change. You know, we see that God uses that 100-year period elsewhere in the Bible. Noah had preached 120 years before the flood, and God gives those in the great white throne judgment 100 years as well. But alas, the Ninevites did not repent, and their time was up. The Assyrians had already conquered the nation of Israel, and even though God used the Assyrians to conquer them, he would exact vengeance upon them. Jumping down to chapter, verse 6 of chapter 1, "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good." We are told that God is a righteous God. His punishment is righteous. A stronghold in the day of trouble. You know, God can be relied upon in the day of trouble. We hear very troubling reports in the news these days. Talk of World War III. Talk about a nuclear exchange between Russia and the NATO alliance. However, we are not to fret. We are not to worry, because we rely on God as our stronghold. Continuing, "And he," God, "knows those who trust in him." Do you tell God in prayer that you rely on him? Do you make known to him all your needs, and that without him, you can do nothing? Verse 8, "But with an overflowing flood." In Scripture, a flood is often used to describe a large invading army. "He will make an utter end of its place." The Babylonians and the Medes conquered the Assyrians. They destroyed Nineveh. They destroyed other cities of the Assyrian Empire. "And darkness will pursue his enemies." Verse 9. "What do you conspire against the Lord? He will make an utter end of it. Affliction will not rise up a second time. For while tangled like thorns, and while drunken like drunkards, they shall be devoured like stubble, fully dried." Verse 11. "For you comes forth, from you comes forth one who plots evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Matthew Henry alludes this points to Sennacherib and the destruction that will be brought upon the Assyrian army as they encamped about Jerusalem. Verse 12, thus says the Lord, though they are safe, and likewise many, yet in this manner they will be cut down when he passes through. The Assyrian army passed through Judah. Though I have afflicted you, the Assyrian army wreaked damage upon the Judean countryside, I will afflict you no more. Verse 13, for now I will break off his yoke from you and burst your bonds apart. Verse 14, the Lord has given a command concerning you. Your name shall be perpetuated no longer. Out of the house of your gods, Sennacherib was killed by his two sons in the temple of his god. I will cut off the carved image and the molded image. I will dig your grave, for you are vile. You can read about the invasion of Judah and the destruction of the Assyrian army in 2 Kings 18 and 19, or in 2 Chronicles 32, and also in Isaiah 36 and 37. Verse 15, chapter 1. Behold on the mountains the feet of him who bring good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feasts. They would be able to keep the feasts. Nahum was prophesying that they would be able to perform your vows. For the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Similar words are also recorded in Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. And these words were to encourage those of Judah, which were captured by the Babylonians, and a prophecy of the coming Messiah. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye. When the Lord brings back Zion, break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. In chapter 2, verse 1 of Nahum, we read, he who scatters has come up before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily. According to Matthew Henry, this chapter was written some 20 years after chapter 1. He who scatters has come up before your face is in reference to King Nebuchadnezzar, who was allied with Ahasuerus, the king of the Medes. We had heard of King Ahasuerus. I think he's in the book of Esther. Verse 2, for the Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob, for the excellence of Israel. Nahum here is offering hope for the restoration of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out. Israel was carried off into captivity, and so too shall Nineveh, so too shall the Assyrians be carried off, be emptied out, and ruined their vine branches. Chapters 2 and 3 describe the utter waste and destruction of Nineveh and its inhabitants, destroyed or carried off, scattered into the nations to which they were taken. Though Nineveh of old, verse 8, though Nineveh of old was like a pool of water, how they flee away. Halt, halt, they cry, but no one turns back. Take the spoil. Take spoil of silver. Take spoil of gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth of every desirable prize. She is empty, desolate, and waste. The heart melts and the knees shake. Much pain is in every side, and all their faces are drained of color. Verse 11, where in the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion walked and the lioness and the lion club, and no one made them afraid. Jumping down to verse 13, behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Woe to the bloody city. It is full of lies and robbery. Its victims never depart. The noise of the whip, the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses, of clattering chariots. Horsemen charged with bright sword and glittering spear. There is a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies, countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses. Behold the multitude of harlotries of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries. I'm not going to read through all the rest of the verses of chapter 3. I encourage you to go ahead and do so at your own leisure. But what can we learn from this vision of Nahum? Even though Nineveh repented at the time of Jonah, their repentance was not enduring. It was a superficial repentance. When punishment did not come, they eventually went back to doing things the way they had done before, and then some additional wickedness on top of that. That's a strong warning for us today. Those who oppose God and his way eventually will earn their just reward. God is not mocked. He will invoke punishment upon the wicked, even though he is long-suffering. God is a jealous God and will avenge those of his who have been wronged. God will avenge us for the injustices that we have endured. God is a refuge and a stronghold for those that rely upon him. God is merciful and slow to anger, not willing that any should fail, but gives us a lifetime to come to true repentance. God will eventually wait no longer. When the time is up and the end is here, he will enact punishment upon the wicked. Righteous punishment upon the wicked. Now, I found it interesting to go through the book of Nahum and read what Matthew Henry's commentary had to say about it. You know, I was able to learn some things by reading the commentary that I would not have known had I not read the commentary, just by casually reading the book of Nahum. So I hope, you know, in the months ahead, you'll be inspired when you sit down after a long day during the dark and chilly evenings of this coming winter with a hot cup of coffee or tea or hot cocoa sitting by the fire or the electric fireplace that you have there. That you will dig into the Word of God, that you will look up, see what the commentators have to say about various books, various scriptures. It's a great learning opportunity. You know, I learned things about the book of Nahum that I hadn't known before. I encourage all of us to do so in the months ahead. Happy reading.